So here we are in Lent, and at the very beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, I was standing in line, greeting everyone. Then we could still shake hands and give hugs and kisses, and so we did, standing out here in our commons before people would eat. They would come and say a word or two in greeting, and one of those people who was a first timer, or at least not been here for a while, visitor, came up to me and said, "Thank you so much for what you said before communion." Sometimes here at Epiphany we say, or I say something like, "This is not Epiphany's table, this is not even a Lutheran table, this is the Lord's table, and all are welcome to that feast." And he so appreciated that because he had been to so many places where he did not feel welcome. And it seems like every time we take the opportunity to say those words of welcome, there's someone who is deeply affected by it, who has felt so left out at some point in their lives. And then as people come up and receive communion, they have their open hands and they hear the words, "The body of Christ, given for you." And a tear forms in their eye. And I don't know what the story is behind that tear. I don't know if they are racked with guilt, that they are unworthy to receive this meal, and yet they have received it freely. I don't know if it's because they have been excluded from meals in the past, because they have not been the right denomination, or they have not been considered worthy by others. I do not know if it's been years since they've been to church, and maybe they just assumed that they would not be welcome, and then they were told explicitly that they were, and they received it gratefully. I don't know the story behind it, but I do know that every time I am reminded how much people appreciate that, I know how much people are excluded. For so many reasons, people feel excluded. And it's not just when they're all alone, like they are in isolation now. But people can be in the middle of a full crowd of people. People can be in a worship service surrounded by people and yet feel all alone, like no one is joining them in their struggle, like they are not worth the time and attention of those around them. And that is the story of the woman at the well. We don't hear her full story, of course. We hear a lot of her story because John can't help himself and he's long-winded in all of his stories. But what we do know is this. She was a Samaritan. That is someone who was not considered a real Jew, who did not have a pure faith, who worshipped in the wrong place. And yet Jesus goes out of his way to be among the people of Samaria, to find himself among them, and to speak words of grace and abundance and new life. And so this woman is an outsider already because she is Samaritan. She is also an outsider because she's a woman, right? In that time and in that place, a woman was not worthy of anyone's notice. She was meant to be at home. She was meant to be making a meal for her family and cleaning up the house. She was not meant to be out in public space, and certainly not alone. And yet here she is, out alone, vulnerable, in the middle of the day. It's strange that she's out in the middle of the day, by the way. That's not the normal time you would go to the well. You would go to the well at the beginning of the day with the other women. In fact, you would walk together to the well. And you would talk about what's happened in your family and what's going on that day, and you would have that sense of community with those you walked with and those you drew water with and those you walked home with. But she is there out in the very heat of the day, specifically not when other people are, because she is excluded. Why is she excluded? Well, Jesus knows why. He says to her what might actually seem cruel, but it might be just a part of the revealing of who Jesus is. He says, go home and bring your husband and come back to me. And she says, in a way that I can only imagine is filled with resignation. She says, I have no husband. And in a society where your worth as an adult woman is entirely based on your marriage, a good marriage to a well-respected man, the fact that she has no husband is a big deal. And then in addition to that, Jesus says, yes, I know. I know that you have had five husbands, and the one you are married to now is not your husband. And I don't believe that that is Jesus calling her out for being bad or evil or impure. I believe that is Jesus recognizing how isolated she has been, how difficult her life has been, how full of struggle and uncertainty and tragedy her life has been, which has surely been filled with death. And so, yes, she has been isolated. And what is beautiful in this moment is not that she receives water. The beauty of this moment is not that she goes and tells these other Samaritans that there is Jesus here that they can come and meet. No, the fact is that it's a beautiful moment that I don't think she in this moment even recognizes. She has been restored to community without even realizing it. She immediately goes and tells other people. And what she tells isn't so important. What is important is that she is with them again. She who has been isolated for so long is restored to community. Now, I'm keenly aware that I began this sermon this morning with a story of communion when we will not receive communion today, where we cannot receive communion today. Certainly those who are joining us on Facebook live stream can't share in the meal. This meal that we count on as a physical sign of God's grace and love. And of course, I am also speaking about community and how important gathered community is and reconnecting with community when we can't do that. When we are in a time of physical separation from one another for good reason. We are taking care of one another by being separate, by not gathering together. And yet it feels ironic, doesn't it, that this is today's lesson? After all, what does it mean to have living water? Living water, according to Jesus, from what we heard this morning from Gil's reading of Jesus, is the water that I will give will become in them a sign, a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. It is a restoration to life. And so what does then intentional community and abundant life look like in this time? Does it look like being surrounded with bustling crowds? I hope not, because we certainly would not be wise to do so. Perhaps it means a simple phone call. Perhaps it means a phone call to someone you have become disconnected with and could really use that time to hear what's happened in their life and how they have struggled and how they have felt disconnected. Perhaps it means, I think in our family it means, setting up a daily time to FaceTime with grandparents, right? To spend that time together where we can see one another's faces, and where we can still catch up and talk. I have one of these fancy watches, you know, that tells me not only the time, but tells me how many more steps I need to take in a day, and how much more exercise I need in the day, and how much I need to stand up and sit down. It's really crazy. But it also does this thing where it shows me a picture. It shows me a picture that's in my collection of pictures on my phone. And by the way, there are thousands of pictures on my phone. So I have no idea how it picks the one, right? But for the last couple of weeks, it has shown me one picture repeatedly, and that is a picture of me and a woman at Oak Crest named Elaine. I visit her every week and take her communion in between the services there. And we spend about 5 minutes together, and she anticipates that visit. And she is so grateful when we are there. And today, I won't bring her communion. I'm not even allowed to go to Oak Crest now. And yet, perhaps it is an invitation to call. And to not just take 5 minutes, but to take an hour. And to hear some of her beautiful life story of serving as a nurse. And how she misses her husband, and how she tries to stay connected to her sister and speak words of wisdom. I can hear the depth of her life of faith in ways that I have not been able to before. Perhaps this is in fact an opportunity to be the church, to be the body of Christ, to be a community of believers that cares for one another in a different way. We will have naysayers, of course. People who say the church is going to die. We're not even gathering for worship. We will have people like the disciples who say, what are you doing talking to this woman? What are you doing trying to live stream worship? We're trying to have a Facebook conversation. What are you doing? You can't do church that way. And yet, this is an opportunity with a harvest that is ripe. May we see this opportunity to care for the most vulnerable and to become community in a way that is meaningful and that has purpose and that, yes, has joy even through the struggle. May God use this moment, no matter how long it lasts, to draw us closer together and declare a radical welcome to all who have felt excluded. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.